God's word teaches that the life of every Christian should bring glory to his name. The sinful condition of our world is a result of failing to give God the glory he deserves. The Lord has proven that he alone is worthy to receive honor and glory. One day, every knee will bow and every creature will acknowledge that the Lord is worthy. Every creature knee will bow before God and acknowledge that he is indeed holy and that he is indeed worthy of our praise. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this day. Lord, we're thankful for your word. And Lord, as we go through these lessons and we read different things out of the scriptures, out of your holy word, Lord, they're given to us for examples. Lord, this is a book written to us. It's not just a history book about things that have happened in the past, but it's a book written to us. So, Lord, we pray for everyone here today. Lord, we pray for the hearer, and we pray for the speaker in this building and in the other building. We pray that your word would go forth with power. Lord, we pray that you would help your speakers throughout these two buildings. Lord, that you'd fill them with your spirit. Lord, that you would use them to proclaim your word to your people today. Lord, we pray for our pastor. We pray as he drives over here for safety. Lord, we're thankful for this missions conference and the truths that we heard preached so plainly. And maybe even things preached that weren't popular to preach, and yet they were preached because your word had them to be preached, and we're thankful for that. And now, Lord, for this lesson, the glory that's due unto your name, Lord, might we present our lives a living sacrifice to you, because you are due that glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The glory due his name, lesson 5. Everyone here, I believe, has been given a book. The aims of our lesson today is to understand that all glory rightfully belongs to God. It rightfully belongs to God. None of it belongs to us or anyone else. It is all belongs to God. Then to see that God should be glorified because of who he is. We thank God for what he does for us, but we glorify him for who he is. For the great God of creation that he is. Then to know that God deserves glory because of his mighty power. Because of his mighty power. Then to realize that we can glorify God by trusting him for peace in our lives. Trusting him for peace in our lives. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. When we think of the beauty of holiness, we know, of course, in the Old Testament, they would have had the temple, they would have had the tabernacle, they would have had the furnishings, and the priests would have had their garb on. Today, we don't do that. Today, that beauty of holiness is more spiritual. It's more spiritual. Our worship is spiritual. The spiritual beauty of inward purity and of outward holiness is far more precious in the eyes of a thrice holy God. It's not in that building anymore. It will be again someday, but right now it is in our spiritual lives. That's where the holiness is seen. It's seen each day as we go to work and as others look at us and what they see. Hopefully they see a thrice holy God in us. Following along in your lesson, the Bible is a treasury of 66 books, and the glory book of the Bible is a beautiful book of Psalms. Let us consider the theme of the entire book of Psalms. Psalm 29:2 is the key verse for the psalm. Psalm 29:2 is the key verse for the psalm. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The Bible teaches that God's children should bring glory to his name. Glory to his name. First of all, glory has to do with what rightly belongs to the Lord. It's what rightfully belongs to him and to no one else besides him. Not to ourselves, not to any other of the many gods that our world is trying to present to us as gods, and it's not at all. They're not at all gods. Then secondly, we shall never exhaust nor fully comprehend or express that glory. You and I don't have the ability to fully express the glory of God, but it's still our task to proclaim the glory of God before the world. The world won't pick up a Bible today. It's not sitting on their coffee table like it was when I was little. Used to be the Bible was in every house. You'd walk in there, whether they were Christians or not, there's a Bible sitting on the coffee table. Well, the Bible's gone, the coffee table's gone. Maybe that's how they got rid of it. They got rid of the coffee table and the Bible wound up out of the house. But God's word is not seen by man today. It has to be seen many times simply through us, through the lives that we live, through the way we walk, through the way we respond to hardships in our lives. People can see our faith as we respond to things that come our way. In Psalm 148, verse 13, turn with me if you would, please. Psalm 148, 13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent, and his glory is above the earth and heaven. His name alone is worthy to be praised. God's glory is above the earth and above the heavens. God's glory is above all. In Romans 1, 19 and 20, and turn there if you would, please. Romans 1, 19 and 20. This, again, is probably another verse that you'd want to memorize. Romans 1, 19 and 20. People are going to say to you, God didn't get the gospel to everyone. Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Thank you for asking that question, because other people probably had the same question. Romans 1, 19. And we'll read through verse 22. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Professing themselves to be wise. Today you go to a museum, you go to places like that, and there's man professing himself to be wise. He's got it all figured out how man did it on his own without a God, without the mighty God of creation. People say, well, what about the gospel that didn't get out? The Bible says it's written where? It's written in their hearts, isn't it? It's their conscience bearing witness against them so that they are without excuse. God gave his word to mankind that they would realize that there was a shortcoming in their life. There was something they were missing. And God gave his truth inside man and in all of creation so that mankind would be without an excuse. Romans 1, 19 through 22. We find the cause of sinful condition in our world. Verse 21 says, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Our world has failed to give God what rightfully belongs to Him. They do not give God the glory. Our science books, our textbooks in the school do not give God the glory. They will give any of the other million gods, false gods out there, room in their textbook, but they won't give the Holy God any room in their textbook. They won't give Him any room. Because if they give a Holy God room in their textbook, then they're going to be accountable to that God. They're going to be accountable to Him. So they don't give Him any room in our textbooks. God will receive glory. These verses in Romans, man has knowledge of God through creation, through science, but he doesn't have enough knowledge for salvation. Enough knowledge to realize that there's an emptiness, that there's a need, that there's a God that he needs to find out more about. Not enough for salvation. There's not a spark of divinity in everyone that's going to take them to heaven. It's not there. It's not there. In Revelation 4, turn with me to Revelation 4 in verse 9. Revelation 4 and verse 9. Verses 9, 10, and 11. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. The Lord is worthy. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our walk each day. He is worthy of that. The 24 elders, the creatures here, falling down before a thrice holy God. God is worthy of that. God is worthy of our praise. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Then Philippians 2, turn there with me. Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 9. If you're here today without a Bible, this Bible's right underneath the pews. Anybody need a Bible? Philippians 2 and verses 9, 10, 11. Philippians 2, 9, 10, 11. Let's start in verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We notice what God's word says about his name. The greatest indictment against Christians is our failure to bring glory to the Lord, to bring the glory that's due to His name. Our greatest failure is that we don't, when something happens and we don't point to the Lord. The lost needs us to point them to Him. And when God works wonders in our lives, we need to tell the lost the wonders that the great God of all creation did for us. Next page in your lesson, give God glory for His person. For His person. Psalm 29, let's turn back to Psalm, our Psalm for the day. Psalm 29. And we'll hang on to this Psalm throughout the day. throughout the session. Even as we leave, we'll be coming back to it. Psalm 29 and verses 1 and 2. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf, and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. What a truth. The Lord will bless his people with peace. What a God. As we read about the mighty power of God, as he shakes mountains and huge trees, he just bends them like they're nothing, makes them skip like calves. As God takes the ground and shakes the ground and shakes the very foundation underneath us. It doesn't take much to shake our foundation and make us unsure. I've never lived in a state like California or where these earthquakes are. I don't think I've ever been through an earthquake that I know of, but it can certainly be an unsettling feeling when the ground beneath you isn't sure. Because what do you do then? What do you do then? The ground beneath you isn't sure. What a great, in fact, our King James Bible says, a terrible God. Not terrible in the sense that we use the word today, but that he is mighty, that he is powerful, that he can shake the earth underneath you, because he is the mighty God of all creation. We notice the word give, used three times here in these first two verses. We're to give the Lord. This means to ascribe honor to him. To ascribe honor to him. When the Hebrew people failed to worship the true God and began to worship many gods, the Lord allowed them to be carried into Babylonian exile. Did he allow them to be carried away because he hated them? No. It was because he loved them and he needed to bring them around to a place where they could glorify him. God taught them that there was no God like him, and they were purged from their idolatry. Write these verses down in your notes there, would you please? Deuteronomy 4:35, and Deuteronomy 6:4. We're not going to have time to go to all the verses that I have in front of me, but I am just going to at least give them to you so you can write them down. The Lord, he is one God, is what those two verses there, along with many other in Scripture, are going to tell you. The Lord, he is one God. He is one. There is only one God. When you have multiples, none of them are a God, because that's what the name God means, that he is indeed supreme. We live in a world where everything is called a God, and men are taught that they are gods as well. We are gods. We are our own gods. Whatever we want to do, since there's no right and wrong standard, whatever we want to do. As long as it doesn't hurt others, too bad. That's not what the scriptures teach us. Not at all. Isaiah 44 and verse 6. verses 6 and verse 8. Isaiah 44, verse 6 and verse 8. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Then verse 8. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? You're even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. We are his witnesses. We are to proclaim the glory of God to a lost and dying world. We are to proclaim the glory of God to other Christians. We are to proclaim God's glory in our lives. The world around us needs to know that there is no God like our God. They're searching for God. They search for happiness in a bottle. I work in a plant, and those guys can't wait to get out of there and go come under the influence of alcohol. They just can't wait to do it. They live miserable lives, and they just can't wait for that alcohol to make things better for them, even if it is only for the night. And it is a shame what man is doing, and that God is right there in front of them, and yet they refuse to believe. They refuse to believe. God gives them belief, but they refuse to believe. And it's such a shame as you see that. And any of you that work around a lot of people, you see that. And man is searching for happiness. Man searching for joy. Man searching for thrills. And he won't find it because it's nowhere except in this book. That's the only place it can be found. The thrills of reading the scripture. And you read a verse and you say, Lord, I have never seen that verse before. I've never seen that before. Or somebody will call you up and say, Brother Rayburn, did you see this verse? Or I'll get an email. How about this verse? And you go, Lord, I've never seen that verse. And the Spirit starts working in you and you go, wow, look at that, Lord. I'm going to memorize that verse. Write it down and put it in the I Hope file where someday I'm going to memorize it. Kelly, you know how that goes. We got the verses we're memorizing, and they're in their place. And then we got the other ones that are waiting their turns. They're back in this stack, and they're in the wait your turn stack. But we see all these verses, and the Holy Spirit just brings them to life. How exciting that is! How exciting that is! The Lord's Word is alive. It is alive. We don't read it and then totally understand it and it be done. The closer you and I walk to the Lord, the more light that there will be. The more understanding there will be. And as that understanding comes, you go, wow, I've never seen that before. That's what man is looking for. But they're looking inside of a bottle or wherever else, on the television or wherever, they're looking for that joy. There's a God in heaven. They can see his handiwork in creation. And yet they refuse to believe. They refuse to believe. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. God is standing there waiting to present them with eternal life, with joy forever. And yet they refuse to believe. We need to give God glory for his power. Psalm 29 in verses 3 through 9. Psalm 29. In verses 3 through 9. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. As we start reading this, we can almost see a storm maybe starting there in the Mediterranean Sea and then coming across land and hitting those great mountains. See Mount Sirion. See the huge mountain there with the snow-covered tops. And as that snow melts and runs down those mountains and the mighty trees and all the vegetation that grows there, we see a storm come up, maybe in the Mediterranean, come out and hit that mountain. And we see the storm here in verse 3. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, and the God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. It's amazing as we've seen huge storms over our lives, and we look in the sky and we see the handiwork of an awesome God. And we look in there and we see the lightnings cracking across at nighttime. That lightning cracks and that light comes out, that flame comes out, that fire comes out, and you can see everything. Not for very long, but you can see everything on the darkest night. We serve a mighty God. We serve a powerful God. Our King James Bible uses the word terrible. He is so mighty. He is so powerful. We serve a mighty God. We find a beautiful word picture here of a powerful storm that moves across the Bible land. As we read, we can picture the storm beginning in the sea, moving into the land, and sweeping from Mount Hermon, Sirion in the north, all the way to Kadesh in the south. Verse 3 says, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The thundering from heaven is identified as the voice of God. God's voice shakes the mountains and splits the cedars of Lebanon. Verse 6, he makes the mountains to skip. They move and they quiver and they shake at the power of a mighty God. Verse 7, the lightning is as God divideth the fire out of the clouds, the power. We remember in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That power that was given there. We see that power at Pentecost. Like cloven tongues of fire. God is a powerful God. Verse 9. Tells about those who sat in the temple and watched this mighty storm. As the storm raged, they saw the majesty of God. The Bible says, in his temple doth everyone speak his glory. The Lord is due glory for his power. He is the Almighty God. Then thirdly, we need to give God glory for his peace. Isaiah 38:17. Would you write that in your notes? Isaiah 38:17, and turn there, please. Isaiah 38:17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast called all my sins, hast cast all my sins behind thy back. What a blessing. Mine and your sins are where? Are they on our account anymore? No. Where has God put them? He's put them behind his back. He's not going to see them anymore. He has chosen, because he is God, he has chosen not to see our sins anymore. He has put them behind his back. What a wonderful God we serve. What a powerful God we serve. And then back in our Psalm 29, verses 10 and 11, the Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Notice in verse 11, God says, the Lord will bless his people with peace. The same God who breaks the cedars and shakes the lands by his power gives us peace in our hearts. We sing the song, peace in the midst of my storm. Do we sing that here? No? That God will indeed give us peace in the midst of our storms. No matter what may be happening around us, the God of all peace and the God of all comfort will give us peace, even in the midst of our storms. What did the guy say Sunday night? He said, when God's glory becomes our joy. When God's glory becomes our joy. What a place to be. That when God is glorified in my life, that I have joy. What a place to be. When God's glory becomes our joy. The mighty, terrible God, how can he be that and yet be so personal that he gives each one of us peace in our hearts? That is amazing, that a God that big and a God that terrible and a God that mighty and a God that powerful lives right here in my heart. What a blessing. All power is given unto us, isn't it? It's given unto us through his word. Philippians 4. Turn with me to Philippians 4. And this is our last reference for the day. Philippians 4. Verses 6 and 7, Philippians 4. Nope, that's not it. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. Paul said that God's peace will keep us. This means will guard, or to guard, or a garrison. Write down John 14, 27. We won't turn to John 14, 27, which says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. The Lord gives us his peace. The Lord gives us peace in the midst of our storms. We can glorify God by trusting him for peace. When storms come into our lives, the world marvels to see his peace demonstrated in our lives. It is a peace that passes all understanding. Unbelief and distrust, complaining and murmuring, rob God of his honor. Robbed God of his honor. When you and I don't walk in the Spirit, when we don't respond as we should to the things around us, it robs God of his honor. Why? Because he is a powerful God and he's working in our lives. And yet we don't exemplify that. In this respect, even the saints fail to give the glory that is due unto his name. When I am constantly wringing my hands over issues, what am I not doing? I'm not trusting God. It takes faith, and God will give us that faith. To stand there and say, Lord, if this is what you have, then this is what I want. And I'm gonna honor you through it. I'm going to give you the glory that's due your name by trusting you. By trusting you. George Mueller used to write it all down when God was faithful. When he'd pray for something and God would give it to him. And he'd pray and God would give it to him. He'd write it all down. I'm not that organized. I haven't written things down. There are many things I remember. Many things I don't. But as the children of Israel came through the Jordan River, the Lord told them to pick up something in the middle of that river. And what were they to pick up? 12 stones. And they're to set them up. So it'd be a testimony forever that as the grandchildren would say, Grandpa, what are those stones? What are they? And Grandpa would say, let me tell you about the goodness of a mighty God. Let me tell you about how powerful that God is and what that God will do for you. A testimony. I almost think sometimes we should be making paper mache rocks with the things that God does and write on there what God did for me that day and stack it up somewhere and stack it up somewhere because we tend to forget those things. We let them slip, as Hebrews 2:1 says. We let them slip. We forget them. What a mighty God we serve. All right, let's do our questions. Psalm 148, verse 13, describes the glory of the Lord. I'd like to see a hand. Ma'am. It's above the heaven and the earth. Tuesday, according to Revelation 4:11, what is God worthy to receive? Ma'am. Glory, honor, and power. Very good. Is he receiving these things in our lives? Sometimes. Not always. How would you answer that to yourself? And then Ephesians 3:21 tells us that glory should be given to God where? In the church. And then explain how you think this is accomplished. Ma'am. Through preaching, singing, and serving. Somebody else have something? Jerry? Okay, somebody else have something else? Kelly? Reaching lost. Ken? Yeah, amen. True religion, undefiled. Sue? Loving people, loving others. Others need love. Rick? Amen. Amen. Someone else, what do you got there? A lot of answers for this one. Jerry? Okay. Ken? Okay. Okay, and then Thursday, Isaiah 44:6, what phrase explains to us that our God is the only true God? Sharon? I'm the first and the last, and there's no other God beside me. Very good. Okay. There are several ways in which God is not like other gods. He lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a good one. He lives. Amen. What else you got written down? Mrs. Raver? He loves us. Ken?
He's the creator. He gave us the Bible. Miracles. He's the only God that died for his people. We're not asking his people to die for him.
Amen.
He's merciful. He gives us grace.
Okay, praise the Lord. All right, we need to move on here. I know there's a lot that you guys can put in there. Psalm 29:3 through 9, what takes place in nature that reminds us of the psalmist of the glory and majesty of God? What took place? A great storm. And then Saturday, Psalm 29:11, what two things is the Lord able to give his people? Sue.
The Lord will give strength and peace.
Strength and peace. Do you need either of these things right now? Thank you very much. Work on your verse for next week. Thank you for all your efforts.